Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give God some praise this morning. Thank you, praise team, for leading us today in a time of worship. We're so glad you're with us here at Life Community Church. I want you to go ahead and get your sermon notes out. Go ahead and get that out. Take your program, open it up. You'll find your sermon notes in there. It'll have scripture on it this morning. Also, you'll find your connection card in there, so make sure you take a few moments to fill out your connection card this morning. We want you to do that. Take a little bit of time to fill out your connection card. We are so glad you're here. We are currently in a series called Life in HD, where we are learning about living the Christian life in His deliverance, HD. And we've learned that when God saves us, He calls us out of a lot of stuff. He takes us and transposes us from one way of living into a different type of living. We're learning that we are to set our eyes on God, that we're not the same person we used to be, that we are to live for Jesus, give up some old habits, and by the grace of God, live a new life in Christ. And as you turn in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, let me just go ahead and read that for us this morning. The Apostle Paul says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. For God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things." These things are what he was talking about and what we read last week about certain lifestyles that the sinful would have. "Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness." Everybody say dark. "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Everybody say light. You're light in the Lord. "Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light," everybody say light, "everything that's exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear," say it with me, "is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you." Father, we thank you for the word. May it speak to us today, and Lord, shine the light of Jesus here with us now. We pray in your name. Amen. Now listen, some of you all in this room today love decorating houses for Christmas. Who likes to decorate a good house for Christmas in here? Yeah, and you know what? I love seeing houses that are decorated for Christmas. I love driving around neighborhoods with houses that are decorated for Christmas. I love it. I love seeing the lights. But I have a confession today. I absolutely loathe decorating my house for Christmas. Now, some of you all may think, well, Kenny, what a Grinch you are that you don't like decorating your house for Christmas. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I love a decorated house. When we get it done, boy, I love it. I love the trees. I love the lights. I love the wreaths. I love it all. What I don't like, if I could be very honest with you, is this. The wadded up lights. I don't care for it. And when we go outside, the last thing that we do in our house around Christmas time is the stringing on the porch, on the front porch, if it makes it, okay? If it makes it. Because we got to get that thing out, and you got to do this to it. You got to untangle it. You got to get it all looking good. And you set out there, and of course, it's not like it's nice weather when you're doing this. It's cold. You got the whole thing just strung out everywhere, and you got to fling it out. You got to get those little clippy things. You know what I'm talking about, right? The clippy things. I'm pretty sure they're an invention from the devil himself. The clippy things. And you take the clippy things and you get it up on the house. And then maybe, just maybe, it looks good. Now, listen, I've seen some of y'all's houses. And I've learned that maybe I should pay some of you all to come to my house. Mine looks awful. Mine looks absolutely awful. I'm not good at it. But when it's all done and it looks great, I love a good-looking house at Christmas. I like the lights. I mean, I really do like it. I'm not a Grinch. It's not like some sort of religious conviction. I love going to the Opryland Hotel and looking at the pretty lights. We do that every year. I just want to look at their lights, not my lights. Does that make sense? That's what I want to do. Lights are beautiful. our mission team to New York. We've been to New York two times. We've got a church plant that we're sponsoring in New York City, and it's pretty neat. We've been up there working with them twice. And, you know, you go to Times Square, talk about lights, man. Now, during the daytime, it's kind of a weird place, but it's weird at night, too. But at night, man, those lights. I mean, you got the big Jumbotron. You got the screens. I mean, it is amazing. You stand out there, and it's these bright colors, and it looks like daytime at nighttime. But it's not daytime. It's nighttime. It just looks like daytime because of all the lights. And I was reading today, and I just got a, well, never mind. My phone's over there. I won't do it. But the amount of power that it takes to run Times Square is unbelievable. The amount of energy and electricity that it takes to run Times Square. It's absolutely unbelievable, all the power that it takes to run. But here's what's crazy. Light, though it's pretty at Christmas time, it's pretty at Times Square, it's pretty, it looks good, it looks cool, it's nice to have a well-lit house. But when you remove light and it becomes dark, everything changes. For example, one of my favorite history stories is, I've told the New York team, is the blackout of 1977 in New York, where the power grid blew up, the whole city, it was a heat wave, it just went black at nighttime. And as a result of that, the entire city went into chaos. I was reading about it, there was arsons and thefts, the most mass arrests in New York history, and $300 million worth of damage done in just hours. Because light was gone. See, when you remove light, dark stuff comes out. Vermin comes out. Critters come out. I mean, you ever had a house where you flipped on the kitchen light about 3 in the morning and stuff is crawling and getting away from you? You ever seen that happen before? It happens. Why? Because gross stuff lives in the dark. Mold grows in the dark. Roaches live in the dark. Mice like the dark. Yucky stuff is in the dark. The reality is we know very much what darkness is like, because though we've seen the yucky stuff that dark produces, reality is we've all had a little bit of darkness in our life at one time or the other. Anybody ever have a dark moment in their life? Yeah, you know, see, I don't even have to explain that. And you know what I'm talking about. A dark moment. You know, I don't even have to explain it, and you know what I'm talking about. A time when you were low, you were dark emotionally, you were dark in your actions, you were dark in your spirit, you were doing things that you didn't want the light shining on. I mean, some dark stuff. Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. See, the evilness comes out in the dark, and you've been there. In my dark times, I've done things that I'm ashamed of. Things that I'm not proud to mention. Anybody else today? Maybe, surely to goodness, the preacher's not the only one. I've done dark stuff. Well, Kenny, I can't believe you as a pastor have done dark stuff. Well, believe it, because I'm a human being. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There ain't nobody righteous, according to the Apostle Paul. Nobody. No preacher, no music leader, nobody. We all guilty. We all dark in our spirits. Every one of us are. And darkness has a way of producing just some yucky stuff in our life. Now, some of you all have lived in that darkness. And you know what? When Jesus saved you, you could immediately tell the contrast between dark and light. You knew darkness, though it felt comfortable at the time. And that's exactly how it is. You get the blinds closed. In college, we used to stay up all night. And we came up with a little system on Saturdays. Didn't have class. We would take garbage bags, tape them on the windows, pull the blinds down. So you know what? We could stay up till sunrise, go to sleep, and it was still dark during the day. See, darkness can get comfortable. See, you can be very comfy and snoozy. Is snoozy a word? I don't know. You can be very snoozy in the dark. You can get very comfortable in the dark. But the light is so much better. You can do stuff in the light. You can see in the light. You can live in the light. You can experience life. When you're in the darkness, you stump your toe, you fall down, all kinds of stuff. You get sick. You know, you can get sick if you don't have enough sunlight. You get depressed. Darkness will put you in places. And when you're in your spirit, when you're dark spiritually, you start doing dark stuff, living and saying dark things and doing dark things. And this is awful. But when Jesus comes into you, there's a change. He pulls you out of the darkness. And help me, church. He puts you into the HD. It's his deliverance. He takes you from the dark. He changes you by his blood. And he washes you clean. And he puts you in the light. And now you are not a creature of the dark. You are a creation of the light. And God is doing something wonderful. And many of you all have come from some dark, dark places. Anybody just want to testify? Say, Kenny, before Life Community, before Jesus came into my heart, I was in some dark places. Anybody here? Yeah, I know there are. I know there are. Now, here's what I know. When we read Paul talking to the Ephesians, talking to them, he references this sinful living. Last week, we talked about the lifestyle, the greed, sexual immorality, etc., that a person that doesn't know the Lord has. Paul says immediately, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Basically, there was a group of people talking to the Ephesian Christians and saying, you know what? Since you're saved and God's in your life, live however you want to. Just do whatever you want. And there was a philosophy and a theology that said, you're in grace, so just do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. That's right there. And Paul says, don't be deceived by that kind of nonsense. Because God's wrath comes on that. God's wrath is going to punish that type of sinful behavior. So why should a Christian who has been delivered from that live like that? Paul said it doesn't make any sense. We are not to live like that. We are not in darkness anymore. And we're not to be their partners. We're not to partner with the person who says they follow Christ, but yet wants you to live like the devil. We're not to take that same type of philosophy, that same type of thinking. We're not to do that. Now, the reality is when you come out of darkness, the roaches and the mice and the vermin, they don't get happy when you come out of darkness. And you know what they want to do? You know what they want to do, don't you? They want to what? Pull you back in. And the temptation that all of you all will have as light dwellers will be that the creatures of the dark will reach out their nasty, slimy fingers and they will attempt to pull you back in the shades. They will reach out with their tentacles and their slimy, monstrous hands and they will say, come on, why are you such a party pooper? Why have you lost all of who you are? Why are you not fun anymore? Why can't you lighten up a little bit? Why? And they'll grab and they'll pull and they have no idea that the light is so much better than the dark. But yet they want you. They want you. And they'll grab you. It's what creatures of the dark do. They're nasty. These nasty little vermin, they'll grab you to live like you used to. But you can't. Because you're a life in HD, and once you've experienced the light, you can never go back to the darkness. You can't do it. Here's the big idea. The HD life, it doesn't hide out in shadows. The HD life shines for Jesus. The HD life is not afraid of what God's made them to be. The HD life is not ashamed of what the Lord's made them to be. The HD life is shining for the Lord, living for God, not ashamed, not embarrassed, but living for the Lord. You know, the reality is, I was once in darkness, but now I'm light because of Jesus. Because he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And because I admitted that I was a sinner, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I chose to follow Christ. Christ came into my heart. He forgave me of my sins. The Holy Spirit was placed inside of me. And now I'm a creature of the light. And because I am a person of the light today and not of darkness, I need to let my light shine. And all of you today that are tempted to go back in the dark, and really, those of you all that have family members and they got coworkers and neighbors that are tempting you and trying to get you to cross that fence and come drink with them and party with them and this with them and that with them and all that stuff, or to get involved in the dirty jokes and things like that, and they're tempting you and they're pushing you, this sermon's for you today. For all of you all that are having pressure from coworkers and family members and friends and whatever that's trying to get you to come back to the dark, this one's for you today. And I'm encouraging you not to go back in the darkness, but to shine. Let me show you three ways that we shine from the text this morning. First, I will shine for Jesus by walking in the light. By walking in the light. Look what Paul says. For you were once darkness. Now pay very, very careful attention to how I read this. Is this correct? But now you are in the light. Is that what it says? You were once darkness, but now you're in the light. Is that what it says? No. You were once darkness, but now you are light. That is not an accident in the Greek. The Apostle Paul is not saying that you're in the light. He's saying what? You are light. Now you think about that. And why are you light? Because you're in the Lord, is what he says. You're in the Lord. So what happens? You give your life to Jesus, who's the light of the world. He transforms you, and you're no longer dark. What are you? Light. You are not darkness anymore. You are light, and you are the light of the world, Jesus would say. You are not to define yourself as being dark anymore. That's not who you are. You've been changed. You are light. You're light in the Lord because of the gospel, because you believe in Jesus. Isn't it awesome to know that when Christ comes into your heart, you're not a dark person anymore? You're light. According to what Paul says, you are light. Light. Some of you all, you gave your life to Christ and you think, man, I've become so different. Why? I'm doing stuff that never did. And when I go back to the stuff that I used to do, though I'm tempted, I don't like it anymore. Why? Because you're light. God's made you that. He's made you light. Now, it's not hard to imagine what the darkness produces. Everybody agree with me on that? We know what darkness produces. But let me give you three things real quick about the darkness under that point. You ready? Darkness produces these three things. Are you ready? They produce hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Can I get an amen on that one real quick? When you're in the dark, you're going to hurt people. You're going to get hurt. You're going to experience infidelity, theft, violence, greed. When you are in the dark, you're going to get some nasty habits, alcoholism, drug addiction, lying. When you are in the dark, you're going to get some hang-ups. You're going to have social anxiety. You're going to have worry issues. You're going to have identity issues. Why? Because a darkness, boom, has come upon you. This is dark living. And it's not good. It's not good. You're going to have some issues. But the light does what, Paul says? The light, he says, it bears what? It bears fruit. The light bears fruit. For the fruit of the light, look what it says, results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. For you were once darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. How do plants grow? Do plants grow in the dark? No, they need what? They need sunlight. When you expose light to a plant, it grows. You know what happens when light gets in us? We grow. And you know how we grow? The light produces good stuff, right stuff, and true stuff inside of us. When the light is shining, you're going to reflect the goodness of God. When the light is shining, you're going to reflect the righteousness of Christ. When the light is shining, you're going to experience and reflect the truth of Jesus and his word. It's going to come out of you. This is what walking in the light is. It's not living a life that has actions of the dark world. Life in HD is living a life that is full of light and has actions of God. By the way, we do stuff in secrecy in the dark, but we are open for all to see in the light. Isn't it interesting that we as Christians are called the light? So how should we live? Should we live lives of secrecy or lives for all to see? You do the math on that. Which one do you think, church? All to see, absolutely. So what kind of fruit are you bearing now? Is your life full of habits, hurts, and hang-ups? Or is it full of goodness, righteousness, and truth? Again, this comes because Jesus is in your life. Hey, listen, maybe you say, well, Kenny, I'm not bearing any fruit at all. I don't see any of this good, right, true stuff in me. Question, are you in the light to begin with? Maybe today your issue is that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll never bear fruit if Christ is not in your life. As a Christian, though, maybe you are got one foot in the dark, one foot in the light. God's calling you to repent of that because it's not who you are. This whole series has been kind of like an identity checkup to know who we are in Christ. And we've got to remember that. A light that shines for Jesus walks, or it commits deeds that are done full of Christ. You know, you Baptists, y'all believe once saved, always saved, and you can just go live like the devil. Listen, I believe by the grace of God, I'm saved and I'm never going to be unsaved. But I also believe by the grace of God, I'm changed and I'm never going to be the same again. And because of that, because Christ is in me, I can't go back to the old way of living. I'm different. And you know what? When I do go back to the old living, that light in me lets me know. It lets me know. I've said it once in this series, and I'll say it again. A true born again, when they stumble into sin, they will feel it. They will feel it. When a person that doesn't know Christ stumbles in sin, they're living in it. They're living in it. They know it. A life that shines will shine, will walk in the light. Second, I will shine for Jesus. I will shine for Jesus by discovering God's delight. He says this. He goes, for the fruit of the light results in goodness, righteousness, truth. Look what it says in verse 10. Discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. So you walk in the light, you bear fruit, but you also discern. And particularly you discern what is pleasurable to God, what pleases the Lord is how you discern that. So what does discern mean? It means you figure it out. You figure out. A life that's walking with the Lord, shining for Jesus, a life in HD, is a life that wants to please God, that cares for the heart of God, cares for what God cares for, thinks about what God thinks about, loves the things that God loves. And they want to figure that out, and they want to orient their life to live like that, to live in a way that God is pleased with. Now, if you don't know Christ, you could care, you could give a flip about what God thinks. You're darkened in your understanding, Paul would say. But if you know Christ, you really do care about the heart of God. You want the Lord to be happy with the way that he's moving in your life. You want God to be happy. But now here's the thing. When you go to figure out what pleases God, let me give you a warning, can I? Be really careful on discerning what pleases God, and figuring that out based upon your feelings. Now hear me on this, so important. I was talking to somebody this week about this, and it's so important. Our plague in our culture right now amongst the church is that we have become more based on feelings. An issue is either right or wrong, black or white, because of how we feel about it, rather than what God's word says about it. Now, this is a very, very dangerous thing that we're experiencing in the church. They'll say, well, I just don't feel like that's a sin. Or I know somebody that's close to me that's living like that, so therefore, it's not sin. That's not how we operate. To discern God's will, sometimes God will tell us to do things that we don't like. Anybody been there before? Tell us to do things we don't like. So when God says it, well, I just don't feel like God would ever want me to do that, but yet his word says that, we're in a dilemma. Do we go with our feelings or do we go with the word? Can I tell you what I believe is the answer? You always side with God's word. Always side with the Bible. You always side with God's teachings. Now, listen, discerning God's will is very, very difficult at times. That's why we want to do our part to be a people of the word and a people of prayer. That we seek God, we study the word, we pray, we seek, we fast before the Lord. Fasting, oh my gosh, Kenny, you don't sound like a Baptist today. I thought Baptists, all they do is eat. Well, if you want God's will, start fasting. If you want to discern the Lord and what the Spirit is saying, start fasting. Start getting on your face before God in his word, praying and seeking God. And you know what? You might figure out what God wants for your life. But you got to be in the word, and you got to be a person of prayer. This church wants everybody to do those two things. To be in the word and be praying, systematically reading the scriptures. If you've not started reading the New Testament yet, change that right now. Start with the book of Matthew. Start with chapter 1. Go to chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. This is not rocket science until you finish it. Well, Kenny, what happens when I finish the New Testament? Read it again or start in Genesis? Well, Kenny, I want to start in Genesis because when I open the book, that's the first page. Listen, that's great, but if you've never read the Bible all the way through, you're going to do okay in Genesis. You're going to get halfway through Exodus. You're going to get to Leviticus, and you're going to give up. You're going to give up. You're going to give up. So what do you need to do? You need to start in Matthew. Read about Jesus. It's not boring. It's really cool. Heals dead people. He walks on water. Blesses bread. That's fun stuff to read about. And you know what? There might be some good truth and teaching in there that you might discover as well. Read your New Testament. Get in it. Likewise, at Life Community, we've developed a system to help you. Our class system, 101, 201, 301, 401. 101 is about membership and knowing who Christ is. And 201 is about the habits necessary to mature in your faith. And 301 is about discovering your ministry. And 401 is about living in mission. Systematic classes to help you just kind of get a broad view of the basics of the faith. Everybody in this church should be making their way through 101, 201, 301, and 401. But we must live in a way to discern God's will. Third, I will shine for Jesus. Now listen, by exposing what is not right. I will shine for Jesus by walking in the light. I will shine for Jesus by discerning God or discovering God's delight. And I will shine for Jesus by exposing what is not right. I think I had a little bit too much Dr. Seuss this week. Had to rhyme it all. But here's the deal. Paul would go on to say this. He would say in verse 11, look what he says. He says, don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. So Paul says, we don't live in the darkness. We instead let people know that darkness is not a good thing. And sometimes preachers want to get way too graphic in the pulpit and make everybody blush and stuff like that. But notice that even Paul would say there are some sins that's not even worth talking about. Not even worth talking about. There's no need to get too graphic in the pulpit. You say sexual morality, you got a pretty good idea, right? No need to get too graphic. But he says, everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. So he says, live your life exposing what's evil. Go out there and make it clear that there's a good way to live and a bad way to live. Make it clear by the way you live your life. And you are not to sleep in the cozy grave, Paul would say, but you are to let Jesus shine on you. He saved you, pulled you out of the grave. Don't live in the grave. Get out of the grave. Walk around like you're alive. Be what God created you to be. Quick question. Prom season's coming up, right? Who's going to prom? I'm not. I'm going to put my hand down. Leslie, no. Who went to prom? Y'all need a life, man. Anybody go to prom? Ever? Oh, my goodness. I was getting ready to say, are we really that? Like that? Really? You know, here's the thing, all right? Everybody goes prom. Ladies get their hair all tucked up and stuff, and they pay all that money for it. And then the men get the tuxedos, and they pay all that money for it. Everybody's glittery and shiny and stuff, and the guy's cleaning their car out, and they go pick up the gal, they go out to eat, and they go to a high school gym, or they go to the River Park Center, and they go in some room that's dirty and dusty, but it's the light's been turned low. And now what once was a sweaty high school gym is a place of romance, right? And there's some dancing, and everybody's having a good time, they're going back and forth, enjoying it, etc. But you know what happens at the end of every dance I ever went to in high school? Those lights come back on. And you've had a whole night of dancing with the lights low, having a good time. And then it's just like they say, get out of here. They flip the fluorescence on, and you hear that whoomp and the hum, whoom. And now you look at your date, and you're like, this ain't the same girl I picked up. What happened? Everybody's face is all washed out. Guys are all sweaty, pit stains everywhere. looking gross in there. You're just trying to get out of there, back in the dark as fast as you can. Why? Because the light exposed you. And you know what? When the light comes on, everybody's eyes hurt. Ooh, ooh. Every time we get done with worship, turn the lights on, everybody's like, ooh, hurts my eyes. You know what happens when you're walking in the light and you live for Jesus? Those in the dark will see light for the first time through you. And you know what will happen? Sometimes their eyes will hurt. And they won't like it. And they'll throw a fit because they see you and they immediately say, well, you're a holy roller, you're more pious, etc., whatever. Thank you for the light like that. You're a holy roller, whatever. And they'll make fun of you. They'll hurt you. Why? Because when you are living in the light and they're in the darkness, it hurts their eyes. It hurts their eyes. Because deep down inside, they know it's not right. Now, likewise, when you live in the Word, you're not just going to live it with your actions, because that's not enough. You have to actually proclaim the message of Jesus. The gospel that Christ died, buried, rose again, and can save you must be proclaimed verbally. Likewise, our church must never be afraid to preach God's truth, right, Life Community? And listen, talking to Michael about this in the hallway today, it's not looking good for the United States. Democrat, Republican, whatever, doesn't matter. Who cares about parties anymore? I don't know. Need to be careful. But what I'm saying is this, is that as dark as it gets in our nation, and more nonsense happens in our nation, like we're seeing from certain states even this week, more nonsense, we are going to be at a critical crossroads where we will either keep shining or we will shut the light out. This church will keep shining. This church will keep shining. Now, you're going to have to praise for some boldness living like this, because you're going to get made fun of, ridiculed, etc. You got to pray for some boldness, and the Spirit of God will give you boldness. I believe that. You just ask for it. He'll give you boldness. Might cost you. Don't get me wrong. It might cost you, but he'll give it to you. I want to do something really quick. I want to show you something, if I can. Talk about light. I want to do something today. See, light's interesting. Because I'm a Star Wars fan. I like my Star Wars. And they talk about the light and the dark. They talk about that. They talk about the two. And you would think that the dark is just as powerful as the light. But actually, what's interesting about light is that dark and light are not opposites. Because if dark was as powerful as light, why does it run away from the light? See, dark is not as powerful as light. It's not. The devil wants you to believe that, but it's not true. See, if you look it up in the dictionary, darkness, the definition of darkness is simply the absence, not the opposite, but the absence of light. So when you cut the lights out, go ahead, cut the light. Shut that door too, Rob. There we go. Stay still. Don't move. Yeah. Shut that door. So light is different. Darkness is not the same. But as strong as dark will be, as powerful as dark will be, can I tell you something? It's interesting. No matter what, it will run away when the light comes. See, this whole room full of darkness, mass darkness. One little light makes it all go away. And what's funny is that Jesus is the light, but he makes us light. And what's really, really cool about that is that as a church, we're a bunch of lights. And we're a bunch of lights that are strung together in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we are different. We're not the same. We're different. And we're in it together. We're doing things together. See, that's what the light is all about. And the light is such a good thing, because there's more. There's more people that need to experience Jesus, and there's more people that need to come to know Christ. And we're going to do our part to tell them about Jesus. And Paul has told us to walk in the light as he's in the light. And today they're going to try to tempt you and encourage you to shut the light out, to get rid of the light. But you can't, because it's not who you are. It's not who you are anymore. God's done something pretty amazing. So we have a responsibility, don't we? That all of us no longer go back to the dark and try to cover it up, but instead to let it shine. So God's doing something. He's calling us all, isn't he? To shine for Jesus. To shine for Christ. To take a dark, dark world and to light this puppy up. To light this puppy up for Jesus. Dark, dismal. And to light it up for Christ. How is God today speaking to you? What do you need to repent of today? Of the darkness? Sing it with me, church, if you know it.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh yeah, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
It's so dark, but Jesus is so full of light. Amen, church. Come on, come on. Open the doors. Let the light in. Jesus comes back. Come on.